To many people in business and industry, federal regulation looks like a runaway train always gathering more steam. Except now the Trump administration is trying to slow things down a bit, but reform can have many consequences, so it pays to always stay alert. One guy who's been keeping his eye on the ball is Alan Chavotkin, Executive Vice President and Counsel at the Professional Services Council, and he joins me now. And Alan, I guess that unified agenda put out by the newly appointed Director of the Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs, not well known to the public, but man, oh man, it's got a lot of effect on industry.
Really does, Tom, and this is a pretty significant initiative out of the Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs, OIRA and OMB. I mean, talk about a moving train. This is slamming the brakes on regulation, and that's exactly what they've tried to do. This unified agenda, first under the Trump administration that was issued on July 20th, demonstrates a clear effort on their part to reverse a number of regulatory initiatives undertaken in the prior administration and even since President Trump has taken office.
Because you don't often see an OIRA that specifically states this is all about rollback.
Very rare. And there's a looked at this pretty carefully. There's a lot of material here, but I've looked at primarily the acquisition regulations. And this initiative covers over 66 departments, agencies, and activities. So there's a lot of information provided.
To what extent can they do procurement? Doesn't that require changes in the FAR? And there's a whole process for amending the FAR, correct?
There is a process for that, and what this initiative shows, what this unified agenda shows, is they're going to withdraw a number of actions that were pending previously, subject to further review. They've talked about moving some from short-term to longer-term actions, giving the administration time to get some of its own people in place and evaluate the risks and choices. And then creating a new category of inactive rules, which will just say, don't worry about them for right now. We're going to go through internal reviews. And then they'll have to follow the regulatory process for rulemaking, whether under the Administrative Procedures Act or for the special rules for procurement, before they can go public with it. So this is an interesting mix. Again, it takes, there's over 1,700 different entries here. I didn't look at all of them, I might say, but I spent some time with many of them at the FAR Council or GSA or OMB.
Now, of the withdrawals, since the fall agenda, they claim 469 actions proposed in fall have been withdrawn. Did you find any withdrawn procurement ones in particular?
There were several, and both the withdrawn primarily into the inactive ones. Across the board, from the Agency for International Development to GSA, some FAR regulations on conflict of interest and research and development. Again, each of these, we could have a whole show about any one of them, but each of these has some interest to it. And not all of them have been bad from my perspective or the industry's perspective. One of the inactive rules is a FAR rule on supply chain, supply schedules, order level material. GSA had proposed to open up the opportunity for vendors on the supplies, on the GSA schedules program to provide what are called other direct charges, ODCs. I looked at this one and it looks like they're making that one inactive. And maybe they're just going to go the GSA one. I have to dig further into it.
What would that rule have done?
It would have allowed vendors on the GSA schedule to, as part of their schedule offering, to not have to specify all of the other direct charges that would be coming in to support services or minimal travel, things of that sort that are directly linked to providing the services but aren't part of the pricing on the GSA schedule. Been an initiative at GSA and with industry for several years. And GSA came out with a proposed rule a year ago to prevent that. So I'm going to try to reconcile those with the GSA folks. I just haven't had a chance to do that yet.
We're speaking with Alan Chavotkin, Executive Vice President and Counsel at the Professional Services Council. And you mentioned conflict of interest, and that's been an issue for some services companies, organizational conflict of interest, when they help an agency develop an RFP and then bid on it. And there's a lot of subtleties to it other than that obvious case. What did you find with conflict of interest?
The proposed FAR change dates back to the tenure of our good friend Dan Gordon when he was the OFPP administrator. He proposed a number of changes to address unequal access to information. It's one of the three types of conflict of interest that might arise under the regulations. And it was a fairly long reach on his part to modify that. That case had been put on hold by the FAR Council. Pending additional guidance has been on hold for over 3 years now. And I'm pleased to see that OIRA has moved that, and the FAR Council has just taken that one off the table and said, we're going to make that inactive. Circumstances require it. It can be revisited. But right now, it's moved to the inactive category.
And what about research and development rules?
This one was a proposal to create a small business set-aside for R&D contracts that doesn't exist today. The FAR provides for competition and doesn't allow set-asides. This proposed rule dating back about 3 or 4 years ago would have permitted that, and here they're moving it into the inactive category pending some further review and study.
So it's safe to say there are some things that industry feels maybe should go forward and some that should be killed.
Very much so. And others, for example, on fair pay and safe workplaces, we've been waiting for the nullification of that FAR rule for months. The Congress enacted and the President signed the nullification Congressional Review Act bill back in April. And the President rescinded the executive orders that provided the legal foundation. We're now almost in August, and we still have the FAR rule on the books. It's not being enforced. It's ineffective for all intents and purposes, but it's still there. It ought to be cleaned out. It shows up on this list for final action, and I hope that comes soon.
So you want to see the grave filled with dirt and the gravedigger go home before you know it's really dead.
I'll take your analogy, yes, sir.
All right. And I guess my question then would be, if you look at the regulatory review that was done by Cass Sunstein early in the Obama administration, where they claimed a lot of rules no longer needed or obsolete were taken away, how would you compare that effort to what you've seen early on here in the Trump administration?
They're similar. Both OIRA administrators deserve a lot of credit for that initiative. This is a very public approach, much more so than Cass did under his tenure. But the net result in terms of reducing the cleaning out, the draining the swamp, if you will, very, very similar. What I like about this is the transparency and the speed with which they've come out with the changes. But here again, I think contractors and organizations like the Professional Services Council need to remain vigilant. We need to be on top of these. And as we've done in the past, we'll continue to be a voice for our membership and the industry to keep OIRA and OMB and the agencies informed about our views and what actions they've taken, those that we support and those that we oppose.
Sure, and we should also point out that, according to OIRA, economically significant regulations, that is, I believe, those that cost more than $100 million to an industry, fell to only 58 since the fall agenda came out. So by my count, that's still $5.8 billion worth of burden on industry of one sort or another, though it's 50% fewer than earlier.
50% fewer, and many of those come in the environmental area, the labor policy area. One or two of them, the fair pay and safe workplaces, for example, was one of those major rules with an economic impact over the threshold provided for under the executive order. And so that comes off the table. So again, to their credit, they're thinking about, they're watching that, giving special treatment to those major regulations that have that significant economic impact. Those are entitled to some special attention.
Alan Tchovatkin is Executive Vice President and Counsel at the Professional Services Council. As always, thanks so much.
My pleasure, Tom.
We'll post this interview and also a link to that rulemaking agenda at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.